Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
You're back from the DR.
We are, yeah. We've been in the
and
DR.
And travel, too.
And traveling, and it feels like it's been a very long time since you and I recorded, because we recorded a bunch in preparation for all that, and then we still missed a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Took a couple of break weeks. And then you and Jonathan recorded one, and so we haven't, you and I haven't recorded the podcast in like...
A month.
At least
That's
a month,
what we said.
Right? At least a month. So it is good to be back. It's good to be back from... In general, be back to recording with you on the podcast, but then also to be back
the
in the country, you know, back at church, all those kind of things. So we had a bunch of stuff. This is a really busy summer for us as a family. And then, of course, like the mission trip as well, which is still as a family because two of my three kids go with Valerie and I. And so it's been busy. So I'm glad to be back. And I'm pretty tired. I am running on hardly any sleep right now as we record this.
And yeah, so, tell us how much sleep you got.
I got an hour and 45 minutes before before preaching Sunday morning. and last night I got some sleep, but I'm still just kind of fried, you know.
But, yes. Well, thank you for showing up.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
We
glad
are
to be
very
back.
Appreciative.
It's got to be. I'm glad
Welcome
to be back,
back
on some sort of schedule, especially with the podcast, right? Back
yes.
in getting in the groove and keep going forward. So it's a good thing.
Yes. Comment. Welcome back, Pastor Adam.
Thank you so much. Hashtag eyes here.
So we're still in our series, Any Questions? And we're actually going to be doing like a, what we call like a sub-series
yeah,
within a series.
What did you call it earlier? A series in a series?
Yeah. Like or maybe you called it that. I don't know.
It's like one of those little dolls where there's a doll inside the doll. And a doll inside the doll. That's what this is like.
Oh, yeah. It's like that.
Yeah, whatever you call those things.
So, what do you want to say? I'm sorry. See, it's been a minute since we recorded together.
Yeah, we're a little off right now. We're a little off. But, yeah, so we got a question from our Any Questions. And then we're going to answer that question in five parts because it's a pretty deep question. And it's something that we've been working on for a while now anyway. We're working on it in general. And I think it's a perfect time. And it's hard to answer this question quickly. So this particular question is about to get a lot of love, a lot of answers.
I'm actually really looking forward to it. So this question in particular is from Charlene Holt. And this, by the way, this is episode.
Shout out, Charlene.
Yes, shout out, Charlene.
We were just talking about your birthday. Yeah, your birthday twins with Stephanie.
This is episode 210. So her question, let me see. Oops. Her question was, how can Christians be salt and light in workplaces? And this is the one that we are getting ready to break down.
Yeah, we're going to break down it into probably five episodes if it goes the way I think it'll go. Because that's a really good question. And I think, Charlene, you may be asking this because of your own workplace setting, but this is an extremely important question for specifically Christians in North America and developing countries all around the world. Like, this is a very poignant, timely question because you'll see as we start to talk through this that workplace evangelism or being a Christian, she uses the word salt and light, perfect, right? Living out the gospel in your workplaces is more important now than it has ever been. The workplace is, and we'll talk about this as we go through the podcast, but the workplace is the place you spend the majority of your time as an adult. You interact with people on a regular basis. You build long-term relationships. And workplace evangelism is way more important in our culture now than it has ever been before. And we as a church have been working through these ideas of how do we help people? How do we help people spread the love of Jesus? Like, what does that look like? In the first 10 years or more of our church, the primary way we did that was to help people invite others to church, right? And so you would give them invite tools, invite cards. You would teach certain things that would be very easy for them to invite their friends to and their family to and coworkers to and stuff like that. And while that should still happen, that's not the way I believe that we are going to continue to, as the world changes around us, reach folks that with the gospel. I think the majority of it is going to happen, at least for a season, in our workplaces, that we've got to see our workplaces as the mission field that God has placed us in.
And the
goal is not just to get your coworkers or people or customers or whatever you interact with in your workplace, students, whatever it is. It's not just to get them to come to church. It's you being the salt and light, like Charlene says, of the gospel of Jesus in that workplace, and hopefully gets them to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ and go to whatever church they end up going to. Not necessarily that it's just you inviting all your people to your church. That method is played out, right? It's not to say that you should not invite people to your church, right? Obviously, that's not the case. But God's done a work in me since COVID. And the goal at the end of the day is not for our church to get bigger, right? The goal at the end of the day is for people to know Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And whatever local church they fit into is awesome. Who cares, right? And we want to be able to lead people in a way in which they can be salt and light, like Charlene says, lead people to Jesus, introduce people to Jesus, help people with their walk with Christ in their workplaces, and then they may go to different churches. They may connect to different churches. Instead of us just taking all our resources at church and helping people to get people to come to our church, if that makes sense, right? And so since COVID, I've talked about this a lot on the podcast. God's really gotten me with this whole, you know, it's not about how big one local church gets, right? That has nothing to do with it. It's how do we equip the saints for ministry, right? And equipping the saints for ministry is not just getting them to use their skills, gifts, and talents in your local church, right? It's to also get them to see their workplace as a mission field, and that they are the one praying for, caring for, sharing the gospel in the workplace. And I think that's how you're gonna see a great awakening happen. Awakenings happen. We'll talk about this in one of the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Awakenings happen where there are lots and lots of people who come to Christ, who come to a knowledge of Christ. They're awakened to the love of Jesus. You're going to see this happen, I think, through workplace evangelism in modern America. So this is a great question, and it's such a good question that we already been working on it for a couple of years. So I got a lot of answers for it. So I can't just give her one little answer and we end the episode and go on to the next. So that's why you got like a little mini series. So the mini series way, Charlene, we're going to answer your question about how are Christians salt and light in the workplaces. We even gave it a title. So, Steph, what's the title of the series within the series?
This title is 5 Ways to Worship God While You Work.
5 Ways to Worship God While You Work. So we're going to give you 5 of them. So today's episode, 110, is the answer to Charlene's question, part 1. And so here's the first one. Worshipful work fulfills God's purposes in creation. When you work in a worshipful way, you are doing more than just your job. You are fulfilling God's creation in the purposes of your work. And so let's just go to where we start to see work happen in the scripture. Genesis 2:15, Steph.
Okay, Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it.
Simple verse. This happens before the curse. All right, so sin has not entered the world. Everything is perfect and righteous. And lo and behold, God makes humans work, right? So work is a good thing. And if Adam is this full embodiment pre-sin of God, right, made in the image of God, then what you see is that work is part of us fulfilling God's creative purposes. When we work, we look like God in creation because God is creating and working, and so we do the same thing. This is before the curse. It's not afterwards. Like, it's not, work is just not a punishment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is pre-curse. So work's not this punishment for Adam's sin. It's part of God's original design. You and I were made to work. Has nothing to do with sin entering the world, right? Now, that does play a part in it, and I'll start to talk about it in a minute, but We were designed to work. And so when you do your work in a worshipful way, you are fulfilling God's purposes in creation. You are continuing to be who God is, right? And be who God made us to be. It's part of who we are. Human beings were made pre-fall to work. The word work literally means to prepare or to develop. And so God made Adam to be a gardener. Do you see what he says in that scripture? To be a gardener, not a park ranger who just guards the garden, right? He wasn't made to just stand there and go, God made this garden, doesn't look at all, it looks awesome. It's so great. I get to enjoy it. God also made him to, part of enjoying it was to work it. And so he's the one who is gardening it. I don't know if you've ever done any gardening, but gardening is hard work, right?
Yeah.
Pulling weeds and planting plants and fighting off some bugs sometimes and watering and paying attention to all those things. This is hard work, and that's what God had made him to do to begin with, not just sit there and go, here's a cool garden he gave me, I'm going to stand in and I'm going to guard it. He's a gardener. It's work. He has been created to work from the beginning, and so have we. And so Adam was supposed to take these raw materials of the garden, of the earth, and develop them for the glory of God and the benefit of God's people. That's what work is for us, right? Pre-fall, we were designed to work, to take these things that God gives us, and as we work with them, so think about your job, whatever your job is, as we work with them, we're giving God glory for what we're creating, how we're managing it. But then we're also doing it for the benefit of people, right? It's the same thing with the garden. He's cultivating these things in the garden that gives glory to God, but then it's also beneficial because him and Eve gonna eat it. You know what I mean? So it's benefiting people. He is made in the image of God. God is creator. And so what you have with man is that we are co-creator. That's why if you want to get deep into what it looks like when we get to heaven, there will be creation. We will be creating too. We will be working, right? I don't know what that looks like or how it looks, but you're not just going to get to heaven and do nothing but sing songs. Part of what's going to happen in heaven is there's going to be creation, co-creating that we do with the Lord, and work and harvest that's not tainted by sin. That's a cool thing to think of, right? And so part of what we're supposed to do on earth is also help fulfill God's creative purposes by creating in the work that we do. If you remember what word God used for his creation, his work, was the word good. Good is good, but good is not perfect. Perfect means that something cannot be improved upon, right? But what happens when you see God created the world in this raw, good state so that you and I could develop it and cultivate it for his glory and other people's good, right? When God creates it and says it's good, it is now good and raw to be used to be created, right? It's a beautiful thing. It's so much bigger than what we end up thinking of. So we're gardeners. We're co-creators with God. And as we do this, in a way, God himself is creating through us, right? So as we go about our work, God is also working through us in that work, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Martin Luther says that our jobs are like the masks that God wears in caring for the world, right? The jobs that we do, God is co-creating with us, helping us do these things, right? Especially as Christ followers, we've got to remember that we're not just doing our work as unto the Lord. We'll get to that in a series. But God is also in it with us, right? And we are all the jobs, all the different jobs we have are like masks that God's wearing to do this creative work through us. Here's the quote. Martin Luther says, "When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to give us this day our daily bread. And he does give us our daily bread. He does it by means of the farmer who planted and harvested the grain, the baker who made the flour into the bread, the person who prepared our meal." Right? So he's doing this creative work through the work that we do. It's a beautiful thing. One of the curses of the fall was that work became toilsome. There'd be thorns, there'd be thistles, and there would be things that frustrated our efforts. So our work starts to become, because of sin, this compulsory act of survival, right? It's just something you do, right? And how many of us have treated work that way?
Yeah.
You just go to work, I got to do it to live, right? So I go to work, I get through it, I come home. That's sin encroaching into what God has actually made work to be. Some people feel deeply like this about your jobs. Like you feel like you are co-creating with God in your jobs. And then some people feel like it's mostly toilsome and draining, right? They feel the effects of sin in that workplace. Some people only do it to survive because you absolutely hate your job. You know, you despise it. Like I grew up with a dad who worked in a factory. Second shift, 6 days a week, mandatory. And he built tires. And it's never that he told me he hated his job, but it was clear that he took the best job he could to provide for his family. It did provide for his family well. It was very hard on his body. And every time we talked about work as a kid, however that came about, my dad would tell me, do something you love, right? Don't just settle for some job, but get work, do work that you enjoy and that you love to do, right? Because I go to work every day and do a job that I have to do to survive, and it's toilsome and it's draining. What's crazy, though, is there's a whole different way to look at that, and I'm not throwing my dad under the bus. I'm just saying my dad was making tires, right, at the Goodyear factory. There's a whole different mindset of seeing work as in I'm helping co-create with God. And then that is going to give God glory that we're creating these things, but it's also going to benefit the people. Because where would we be right now in our society without tires? They're very beneficial to people. And it was this act of creating. And if you see your workplace like that, then you are closer to walking in what it really looks like for God, what God intended us to be, right? It's redemptive. And what it'll look like in heaven versus it just being something you've got to do to survive. I know lots of people hate their job. So if you are asking that question because you hate your job, if you're one of those people like sitting here right now, well, what do I do if I hate my job and I can't see how I'm co-creating with God? Well, you can still do it faithfully as an act of service to God, right? Like I'm not just serving the people that I'm with. Consider that there might be a distinction between your job and your calling. Like it might be a little different. You're doing your job as an act of service to God, but there's some sort of different calling on your life that's not necessarily tied to your job. Like Paul, right? Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, right? He is one of the fathers of the early church. He's the person we look to in Scripture as a great example of what it means to really follow after the heart of God, you know, and all those things. And when you look at him, his calling was to reach the Gentiles for Christ, right? If you look through there, you'll see that what God has placed on, what Jesus places on the heart of Paul is to reach the people that are far from Jesus, the ones that are excluded, the ones that are outcasts. It's about the Gentiles, right? Which is awesome that he did his calling because that's you and I. We're Gentiles, right? Mm-hmm. That was his calling. But he also made tents on the side, right? He also worked as a tent maker. Tent maker was a part of his calling, but it wasn't the heart of his calling, right? So he's working a job that maybe he doesn't necessarily do, but he also has a separate calling. And sometimes you've got to look at it that way. Like, you hate your job, it doesn't fulfill, it's hard to do. Well, I'm still doing it as an act of service for God. And at the same time, I'm going to pursue what it is he's actually laid on my life that we could deem a calling and not just a job, right? Obviously, the home run is when you have your spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit, those are the Holy Spirit's gifts, but they're used through you. You have your talents and you have the calling that God's placed on you. And all three of those can end up being executed and happened in your actual workplace. That's when you get the home run. But we don't all have home run situations. You know what I mean? And so if you're in a spot where you hate your job, you have to see it as I am serving the Lord. And another way to really help with that is to see it this way. Worship for work is I'm helping God in his creation. Right, I may not like my job, it may be something that drains me, it doesn't work, but what I can see is how is God creating in this work and how am I co-creating with him? So you can see it as a bigger picture, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes your calling is separate from that, right? It's And so, but you got to do both, right? But you got to work, right? So, and of course, you can change jobs and all those things, but inevitably, we all end up in some sort of work, or at least a period of time at those jobs, where we do feel like it is pointless, toilsome, draining. We hate it. Hate's a hard word, but we hate it, and we're not fulfilled by it. And maybe that changes in seasons, and maybe it doesn't. But the mindset we have about our work could change if we see that when we work, we are co-creating with God, and we're giving God glory through the work, and we're also doing something that benefits the people. That's what work was intended to do to begin with, right? So anytime we reorient our brains and our hearts back to that, we're getting closer to the heart of what work is supposed to be, right? And that act is helping to redeem and restore this broken world back to what it was intended to be to begin with and what it will be one day. You know, does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And so, I know it's hard, right? I mean, there's been lots of times in my life where that's been the case. And, you know, what's funny is I feel like I am in my calling, gifting, talents, and it happens to be my work too. But there are seasons where this is the most draining, toilsome thing I have ever done, right? And I have to be able to constantly go back and go, my work is to the Lord, right? It is unto the Lord. It's not to people. We'll get to that a little bit more later, but it's not to the people that I'm serving. It's to the world. And I want to give to God, and I want to give God the glory with and co-create in this way he's made me to do. And then also that benefits the people. You are, whether you believe it or not, you are fulfilling God's purposes for creation when you do your jobs. And that's one of the key ways to set yourself apart from the coworkers that you work with and shine salt and light into the workplace, right? It's one of the key ways to do it. I mean, if you think about that quote from Martin Luther, he literally starts to go through this idea of who does it take to bake bread, right? Well, baking bread is co-creating with God, and it's also benefiting the people. All of our jobs are like that, and you got to figure out how to understand your workplace in that form, if that makes any sense. And so that's kind of how we kick this thing off is, first, number one, understand that your workplace, when you do it in a worshipful way, it is fulfilling God's purposes in creation. That's the first one, right? That's where we start off with. And remind yourself all the time, like this, to me, if I could get one little thing out of this episode, because I'm tired and I'm probably rambling a little bit, but if you get one little thing out of this episode is work is not a result of sin, right? It's tainted. It's messed up. It needs to be redeemed and restored. But work was there before the fall.
Right.
You and I were created to work. So how do we do that in a worshipful way? The first way we do it is to realize that we are helping, co-creating with God in every single job that we do, right? And you can even take that and go every little way with it. We're talking about workplace, but you could take that to caring for your infant, right? Or caring for your yard or whatever it may be, right? You can take any of these tasks we have in life, you can put them in this work category and know that with a different mindset, right? I'm not just doing a task. I'm not just doing a job. I am co-creating with God, right? And I'm giving him glory because he loves the fact that we co-create with him. We're going to co-create with him in all of creation. We're going to co-create with him in heaven, right?
Yeah.
And I'm benefiting people when I do this too. You know, like with my dad, I don't know if he ever saw the fact that he was co-creating with God by building tires. And he was benefiting the people by building tires, but he for sure was, right? He for sure was. And that mindset can change everything. And her question is rooted into salt and light reference is shining the gospel in your workplace. Well, the primary way you begin to shine the gospel in your workplace is to see your work in a bigger, godlier sense, even if you can't stand your job, right?
That's good.
That makes sense?
That makes sense.
So that's our first one. And then we're going to come back next week in this series within the series and answer Charlene's question again with another one. And the first one's the longest one. So Hope that helps, Charlene. But if it didn't, don't worry. We got four more.
Well, that was good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I feel like I definitely want to take that into my workplace tomorrow to think
well,
like
it's,
that.
This is one of, you know,
it's a good reminder.
Like, nothing's going to just mad. Oh, I heard this. Oh, great. This is all fixed, right?
No, or, it's not.
And then one day you see your workplace like this, and the next day you don't, right? I mean, you know, we are fallen people. The effect of sin here is big in our workplace, and it makes sense that it is, right? Also, it makes sense that the enemy would attack hardcore in the workplace. Right,
oh, because yeah,
because one of the primary purposes of our career, what God's doing with us in creation, is work. Right, so
yes.
Of course the enemy is going to attack there. Plus, you got to remember, we'll talk about this some more too. But you're spending the majority of your time there.
Oh heck right? Yeah!
And so this
second home,
this idea of being like this idea of you are called to be. This is a harder question. You are called to be salt and light. Well, where are you primarily going to be salt and light? In your workplace, the place where you're at most of the time,
that's
right?
Crazy, yeah.
That's where you're going to be.
True.
You know, so we hear these things like the Christian's called to be salt and light, and we just picture ourselves walking around in Walmart, just shining the gospel. And you know, but most of it's going to be personal interactions in some mundane tasks in our job, in our workplace, right? And salt and light in the workplace is going to look like one of two things. It's going to be with your coworkers who you see every day. Or it's going to be directly with whoever you are serving in that, whether it's customers or patients or students or, for, like my case, parishioners, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of where you are going to shine the gospel is in two places: your home, your family, and your workplace, right? When it comes to the public, most of it happens through those two areas. It happens in your family and in your workplace, right? I mean, unless you're going to go out and be a sidewalk preacher, you know, you got interactions with people in public. But where are you spending the majority of your pointed focus time? Work, right? So this idea of living out salt and life in the 21st century is going to be heavily focused on work, right? Maybe we could throw in there salt and light online and in social media, right? So home, workplace, and in the social media sphere, right? But this is where you're going to spend the majority of your time sharing and living the gospel, where people can see it. Your light is going to shine the most in the workplace. So this is a great question.
It is a great question.
That's why it takes. That's why Charlene, I cannot answer it in one episode. It's going to take a bunch. And it's something that we're really working on at the church right now to figure out how to help people do this effectively in their workplaces. So anyway, there you go. There's first one. There's 210.
Woohoo.
Sub-series ways to worship God at work. I think that's what it was. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, we'll be back next week to answer the rest of Charlene's question, and then we'll fail at it. We'll answer it again, then we'll do it again, then we'll do it again. That's the plan.
Yes. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Four more parts.
We got a bunch of this one. Bunch of ways to answer this question.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Adam, sharing that wisdom. And thank you for coming back.
I appreciate it. Yes, I'm glad to be back. Now we can get into some sort of routine, and I won't be getting messages like, where's the podcast? Why'd y'all skip 2 weeks? We skipped 2 weeks because it was impossible for us to record. That's why. So.
Yes, but we did miss y'all. So
We really only miss...
Two, I think.
And we overall, we really only miss about 2 to 4 a year, right? So out of the 52 weeks, we will usually miss one or two around the end of the year, Christmas and New Year's, and then a couple of them mixed in throughout the year based on scheduling and stuff. So we're back. We should be good for a while, for a long while.
Yes.
Barring some unforeseen circumstances, we should be good for a while.
Y'all be ready.
Be ready. We got it.
You got to mess just for a while. Just kidding. All right, well, we'll talk to y'all next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.